Morning, brothers and sisters. We welcome back all those who went to the old Taupo Bible School. It will have set you up well for the new year, no doubt, in service in the Lord. But during the time that you were at the school, you would have had little time for the outside world. And you know that. Brother Jeff was down to the exhort, and on Friday he emailed me to say he couldn't do it. So I was looking around for something to say, and you know, I found an interesting piece of paper which had a message on it, and it would take only about 3 or 4 minutes. And I found it would have been exactly as you would have been in the Bible school. So I thought I'd read it to you. It only takes a couple of minutes. It's not part of my exhortation. Did Jesus use a modem at the Sermon on the Mount? Did he ever try a broadcast fax to send his message out? Did the disciples carry cell phones as they went about their route? Did Jesus use a modem at the Sermon on the Mount? Did Paul use a laptop with lots of RAM and ROM? Were his letters posted on the internet at paul.rome.com? Did the man from Macedonia send an email saying, come? Did Paul use a laptop with lots of RAM and ROM? Did Moses use a joystick as parting of the sea and a satellite guided tracking system to show him where he'd be? Did he write the law on tablets, or are they really on CD? Did Moses use a joystick at the parting of the sea? Did Jesus really die for us one day upon a tree? Or was it just a hologram or technical wizardry? Can you download the live action video clip to play on your PC? Did Jesus really die for us one day upon a tree? Have the wonders of this modern age made you question what is true? How a single man in simple time could offer life anew? How a sinless life, a cruel death, then a glorious life again, could offer more to a desperate world than all the inventions of men? If in your life the voice of God is sometimes hard to hear, with voices calling, this doesn't touch your ear, then set aside your laptop and modem and all your fancy gear, and open your Bible, open your heart, and let your Father draw near. Amen. I thought it was quite appropriate because we do rely on so much of the modern day equipment. And anyway, I went away looking for something else, and I started off, just a couple of pages about the rainbow. And Yvonne must have been tuned in at that stage, because see, the last bit is about Noah and the rainbow, so there you are. But anyway, it's not to be. This is, I found this, and when I read it, I found it simple and appropriate. It was written by a brother, Ken Clark. And it's thoughts for a new year, so it can obviously only be given to your first thoughts for the new year. It's a refreshing, the daily scriptures and the new year bring an opportunity for all of us to assess our discipleships. We begin the new year with Genesis 1. Without this chapter, these are all his words, so some of them might sound as if I put them in by habit. Without the chapter of the Bible, it would be incomplete. It is a superb opening. It tells us all that we need to know about our creation. It leaves us with no words to describe so mighty a happening. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. The Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And then God said, let there be light, and there was light. Above that great darkness, a voice spoke with such authority that his glory spread around the world, illuminating all that was under the heavens. It was a magnificent plan. It was a divine separation. Darkness and light can never mix. God saw that the light was good, good for man, and good for all his works to come. God directs our minds to the thought that it was light that gave him the preeminent satisfaction. Was needful for all of his acts, which culminated in man. And God called the day, and the darkness he called night. God associated with light, and man with darkness. His word is a lamp to our feet, guiding us ever towards Zion. And from Genesis 1 onwards, there is always a contrast, the ways of God and godly people, in opposition to the ways of darkness. So on the opening page, the drama unfolds. We are to see the record of one race on one planet living through an age which will conclude with the eternal glory of the Creator. And then we turn to the middle reading, the Psalms. When we reach Psalm 1, we look at verse 1, it gives the destinies of men very clearly. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, or stands in the path of sinners, or sits in the seat of the scornful. The psalm has been termed the Old Testament hymn book. Already the stark lessons are there for us all to see. One has to choose the fellowship of the ungodly or walk in the light of God. Alas, there is only one man who delighted in the law of the Lord day and night and kept it. He was unique. His light shone into the darkest crevices of men's hearts, but they still preferred darkness. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish, says in verse 6, Psalm 1. He reiterates the lessons of Genesis. There can be only one way, and not all men will be saved. And then we go to the last reading, which of course is in Matthew. As we begin the New Testament, the opening verse beams on the light of the Old Testament, on Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. All the promises were centered on him. There's not a single man in all the world could do what he did. He shall save his people from their sins, Matthew 1:21. Sounds so simple, doesn't it? But it meant a horrendous sacrifice and a glorious resurrection to wipe out the sin that had originated in Eden's splendid garden. His was a life of blessedness. His was a walk in the light. His was a life of dedication, selflessness, unequaled by any other man before or since. His was the example we consider again today. Therefore we do as Paul counsels us so vigorously, let a man examine himself. And so a new year lies ahead of us. But have the previous 365 days caused us to ponder the word anew? How often did we turn to it in the daily life? Have we felt self-sufficient for all the trials that life might bring upon us? It was said to us, we have no food for a meal. How would we feel? Would we feel similarly deprived if access to our Bibles was restricted? How would we feel? It drives home the thought that unless we feed daily on the word, we would fade away as a starving man. Psalms 119 and verse 25 says, teach me, quicken thou me according to thy word. Let us look to ourselves individually, not in a critical way, but an endeavour to see if we can improve on last year's efforts. And now let's look at the young ones, and there's quite a few of them here today, not normally here, but let's look at you. The world is yours. Every opportunity, every leisure, every vice, every abomination can be satisfied or experienced. What was the result of our living in the presence of God in the last year? Paul said, be thou an example of the believers. He meant in the ecclesia and outside it. Were we? Of course, none of us is perfect. And many of our younger members are excellent, reliable, headstrong perhaps sometimes, but they're all lovable. And it's great to see them taking up the true standard and fighting for the faith. Unfortunately, there are others who are letting the side down. Think. If Christ remains away, would we have our light stands burning brightly in 20 years' time? Or, if he came tomorrow, would we be prepared? Consider the answer of so many. Oh, life is such a bore. But for the one who believes, never. Grief is evident every day. By God's grace, we can help those who are suffering. There are good deeds in abundance waiting for us to do them. Perhaps so little time left to do them. But we should redeem that time or buy up the opportunity. We cannot thrill to scripture while only watching the latest soap on TV. We should not watch it all. If Jim or Jane is in hospital and we have not visited him or her, we should not idolise the masters of the modern world, because we know that in 100 years' time they'll be forgotten and gone. But every saint will have a name written in heaven. Life's pleasures are fleeting, but we are men and women with a purpose. We must demonstrate it in our actions and deeds. It's not easy to go against the tide, especially when it's in full flood. But we are not spineless, but young men and women who have been given very high standards to follow by our Master. Was there anyone in the ecclesia that you didn't speak to last year? Of course, they're talking about a big ecclesia where there's maybe 100 people. That does happen. It said the young sit together. They think together. They play together. Why? Because they have the same thought channel. But the ecclesia is a unity and is not divided into young or old, or female or male. We must be consistent. We don't want a light that burns brightly and then vanishes away. There must be a continual, steady flame that illuminates the whole of our lives. And so that's finishing with the young ones. Now the oldies, like me. Some of those thoughts apply to us too, of course, but with years of experience, we are probably more aware of the end than the beginning. So often, we are reminded that there is no effort we can make once life has ended. Are we then light in a dark place? When volunteers are called for, are we examples to the young? Our Lord left no cry unanswered at all. A brother once exhorted, he said, if we can say yes, never say no. Record the telling words, no man can tame the tongue. There's a restless evil full of deadly poison. What? No man? Well, just one. How careful we should be. If James is so pessimistic, what a guard we should put on it. Do not let us say unkind things or hurt anyone. We can get things out of proportion, but remember the admonition that we can put a bit in a horse's mouth, but what can we put in a man's mouth? The word. The word. Without it we gossip, we slander or spread untruth. James 1:26 says, if anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, this person's religion is worthless. Let me move on to all of us as a combined ecclesia. There's so much more to consider. But at times we all require gentle prodding. It has been said, there are servers who don't serve, doorkeepers who don't keep, chairmen who don't prepare, speakers who leave their preparation too late or give too little. This is not true service. We thank God for all who serve daily with honour, and they are the majority. The hands offered like the Lord's, the feet hastening like the master's emergency. How we appreciate the hearts that overflow with love, the mind dedicated to the Saviour's work, the pockets and purses that are empty when there's a great need. In addition, we should be grateful that someone has laid the table, prepared the hall, thought about the hymns, cared for the sick, and those 1,001 other things that keep a light stand shining to the glory of the Father. And so, as we step into the new year, do not worry about the past. Well, it's gone. We can't bring it back. The future's ours to do as we will. The end vision is radiant. The corruption of the surrounding darkness is not for us. Every day we are bathed in God's light. It was said at the beginning, let there be light. It has echoed down through the ages. And soon from pole to pole, the glad fact will be acknowledged by all men. As we wait for the happy day, we shall persevere watching and waiting. And a brief look at the last verses, the chapters in the Bible. The reading of the final days of the year is combined with the first beautifully. Could Job ever appreciate the great power of God? Without his wisdom, our words are as the wind and our actions futile. In all humility, Job acknowledges his errors. The whole purpose of creation was to give joy, and the happiness of angels demonstrated it. Could Job ever appreciate God's might? God knows all, and man, despite his tremendous strides, knows so little. So Job ended his days contented with the knowledge that God had been very gracious to him. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. We shall not die forever, but live eternally. No longer will there be a difference between the young and old, female and male, for we shall all be young eternally. The theme thing is in Malachi 4:2, with an exhortation to remain true until the end. It remains with us in Revelations 22, verses 12 to 14, which echoes Psalm 1:1. Even the serpent's power is cast out from that glorious paradise. So whenever we turn to the Bible, whether it's the first or the last day's readings, the light is still shining, and the Spirit and the Bride say, come. He who gives his testimony to all this surely says, I come soon. It will be our privilege to go to meet him with joy. So be it. Come, Lord Jesus. Come quickly.